The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a person who does not like to fail in any aspect of the word. Whether it be in struggling to accomplish something, in sports I was extremely competitive and didn't like to lose. It was something that just didn't settle with me. In my adult life, trying to figure things out and just gain understanding, failing was just unacceptable and is unacceptable to me. Even to the fact where I become a little bit superstitious. For instance, on the golf course, if I shoot a bad hole, the first thing I do is I wash my ball off in the ball cleaner thing. I don't know if there's a technical name for that. Because I need to wash off the bad juju or that terrible hole that I just shot. If I'm lucky, the ball drowns in the lake, and then I can start anew with that. But I don't like failing. Just this last week, the boys have gotten into the recreation of the Magic School Bus. The Magic School Bus rides again. Netflix is producing this. And the very first episode I saw was an episode on engineering. The students were trying to engineer something, and their teacher, Miss Frizzle, was ecstatic about it because they failed. And every time they failed, she just was beside herself with excitement, because it's in failings that they developed a better, so they were designing this rover thing to go on this planet to obtain this sphere of knowledge. So one of the students who didn't want to study could obtain that and pass his test, and then they could play the baseball game and win. Anyways, so they had to engineer this rover to go across this planet, and so they designed it, and they kept testing it, and it kept failing for whatever reasons, and the kids are getting more and more frustrated and wanting to give up, and the teacher is, as I said, ecstatic. She's like, "Yes, failure, yes." Our text today, all three of them, are full of failings. full of failings that have happened, full of failings that God is naming. If we look at our Ezekiel text, it begins off right at the bat. He said to me, O mortal. Already, Ezekiel is being told that he is not God. He is going to fail. He is not going to get things right. Things are going to be difficult. Up against this, he's going to be proclaiming this to an impudent and stubborn people. He's fighting a lose-lose battle. You see, Ezekiel was a prophet in a time where the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon and would be there for 70 plus years. And they had lost all hope. They're there because they were unfaithful to God and are reaping the consequences of that. And so they've had many prophets come before to warn and name their wrongdoings. And at that time, they refused to hear, and they will still, even though in captivity, will continue to refuse to hear the good news because they are a rebellious house. In our epistle lesson, Paul talks about this grand vision of this out-of-body experience with God. He uses the word third heaven. And so, and despite experiencing all of that, he's focused in on his weaknesses. It talks about having this thorn in his flesh. This, despite being in God's favor, despite experiencing this indescribable event with the divine, Paul continues to have a thorn in his side throughout his ministry. And then you have Jesus, who comes with failing also. In our gospel lesson, we have two stories here of Jesus. First, we have his hometown visit, where he is not welcomed. The people are perplexed, they're confused. Why is this boy that we watched grow up, this carpenter's son, this one who is illegitimate, where in the world did his wisdom come from? Where did his teachings, this authority, come from? And they were offended by him. He was failing in his hometown. He was rejected. And as a result, despite bringing the good news, the grace of God, his power was not received there. He did, however, lay his hands on folks and still complete a few healings, but the capacity for which Jesus is capable of fell short. And as a result, he calls in his 12 to send them out. And in this, Jesus gives them the warning that they will not be received and they will be rejected in some places, that people will refuse to hear them, and that they must continue to go on. Now, given my own baggage of the feeling of failure and wrestling with that, I can't help but think about this text and wonder, why is this even going on in the presence of God? In the commissioning God gives, in the presence of God's self in Jesus Christ, shouldn't there be, now there might be some failings, but shouldn't it be a whole lot more of victories rather than failings? Shouldn't God's commission be at the top of its game 100%? And I think Paul gives us a good and accurate response to that. In responding to the thorn that's in his flesh and pleading with God to remove it, God says this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." This grace is sufficient for you. The word for sufficient is so much more. For me, I had kind of a negative connotation with it. But it's a completeness. It's a fullness. It's enough. It fulfills. It's unfailing. Because this grace comes along, it strengthens, it defends, it wards off the thorn, whatever that may be, in our own lives also. It wards off the thorns of our lives. There is grace in failing. There is grace in the thorns of our lives. God gives this grace through each and every condition. In our own lives, we experience this in a variety of ways. In a relationship that continues to struggle and be broken despite our best or maybe even worst efforts, there's grace for that. Whether it be in our studies or trying to learn something new and just continuing to run into a brick wall and not making headway, there's grace for that. In our work, we strive for that promotion or maybe even just to find a job to support our family. There's God's grace for that. Whether it be a medical condition that we continuously struggle with or one of our family members, God has grace for that. And maybe it's even in our retirements and the glory years where things are supposed to be great, but somehow just isn't all that it lived up to be. There's grace for that. We also experience God's grace in our collective or communal gatherings. I think of, for instance, in families where baggage of things that have gone on in the past continue to weigh down and destruct the family unit. God has grace for that. In our faith community, so often we hear about how the church is dying or that another church closed or that church is lost. There is grace for that. And as a nation, as we continue to hear the destruction, the separation, the walls, and all that which is not of God's will for humankind, there is grace for that. God's grace is there for all and any circumstance imaginable. All of them. Even in my own strugglings with my own failings, as minute as they sometimes will be, God has grace for that. And just like his disciples, God commissions us full of that grace in our baptisms, washing us with water, cleaning us daily. It was said that a Christian is ever one day old, that the past doesn't matter, and tomorrow is so far off that it also doesn't matter, that we have today. Brothers and sisters, it's because we're washed in God's grace in our baptisms that we start each day anew, full, clean, holy, ready to answer that call as God commissions and sends us forth, not as a superstitious like I do on the golf course, but as something real and tangible, a gift God gives us each and every day. Despite my own feelings, failing is not bad. As Ms. Fritzl emphasized in the Magic School Bus, failings can really be a gift because it's going to happen. Failing is going to happen. What if, instead of viewing it as a negative thing, that we can view it as opportunity? What if we boast in our failings and our shortcomings, celebrating them as opportunities for growth, for opportunities to indulge and let down our own barriers to embrace God's grace for us? Because God's grace unfailingly shines through. God's grace washes us daily to fill, to clean our shortcomings, our gaps, to make us complete each and every day. God's never-ending promise of grace for all. Amen.